My late father, bless him, was a very, very keen fisherman. I haven't fished myself for a very, very long time, but when I was quite a lot younger, I did spend some time with my father fishing. And one thing I learnt is that my father was very particular about the kind of worm that he put on his hook. Certain fish needed a certain kind of worm. I never knew, and certainly don't know now, my bloodworm from my wonderworm or my shingle worm, and I would most definitely confuse a moonshine worm with a pudding worm. And because of this, I was absolutely captivated by a research survey which is being done by Stellenbosch University, Sandparks in the Garden Route National Park, and the Knysna Basin Project. The Stellenbosch University marine biologist who is involved is Dr. Carol Simon, and on the line to us now. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Are you a fisher person?
Not actually. I'm more worm person. I love worms. I'm not interested in fish. Really.
So you don't really care what the worm is used for? You would prefer that it weren't used for anything?
I acknowledge that fishermen love using worms for fish, and that apparently fish love worms. But as I said, I'm not much of a fisherman myself.
And what are you looking to find out about worms and fisherfolk?
In finding out which worms are being used. You know, in the literature, it's always said, you know, worms, fish love worms, fishermen use worms, and we don't really know which species are being used, and that's what we're trying to find out.
Do you think the people who use the worms are knowledgeable about what worms they're using? They just stick their worm pump into the sand, suck something up, and if there's a nice juicy-looking worm, they put it on without caring or knowing whether it's a wonder, shingle, moonshine, or pudding worm?
I think it's a mixture, because what we've noticed so far is that, you know, there are different worms that you know, they look different. And generally worms that look different have different names. But when you go specifically, you have worms that are of the same family, for example, that will have the same common name. But we are finding that in some instances, different groups of worms have the same common name, but I think most fishermen do actually from a common name perspective know what they are looking for. So they're not really just randomly picking up worms.
Okay. Let me interrupt our conversation briefly to say to any fisher folk who are listening now, are you very particular about the kind of worm that you use? Is there one worm that you use for all your fishing, or is there one worm that you use for a particular fish that you're trying to catch, or are you entirely indiscriminate, just a nice, fat, juicy worm that will attract the attention of a hungry fish? That's all you are interested in. Carol, as an academic, why are you interested in this? I mean, what would be the benefit of getting this information into some sort of academic binding?
Well, as I said, you know, when we started looking into this, we found that even though we have lists of worms that are being collected as bait, there was actually quite a lot of discrepancy depending on your sources. So when I looked at what the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries was calling them compared to, say, what is available in Two Oceans and other similar field guides, we found that for the most popular species, there was a consensus. But that's only three species, and the rest of them, it was all over the place. And, you know, if we want to start conserving the animals, managing the animals, the first place to start is to know actually what exactly is being caught. So this is where I'm starting. The other reason that we are looking at this is because some of the species are what we consider now to be apparently cosmopolitan. So, for example, one of the species which is referred to as the wonder worm in Two Oceans is a species that occurs apparently all over the world. And We are now more and more becoming aware of the fact that when species occur all over the world like that, either they are alien or they've been incorrectly identified. So either way, we really do need to know what's going on. You know, is it a new species in South Africa or is it an alien species? Because that will also influence how the species should be managed.
I know that people who are involved with various animal groups get very cross about the I can't remember the exact phrase now, but the polar bears and the cheetah and these yes. sexy animals that are in danger, because the riverine rabbit is even more threatened, and it's hard yes. to get people as excited about saving a rabbit as about saving a cheetah. And yes. I would imagine that it's quite hard to get people excited about conserving a species of worm if your research finds that a particular species of worm is under conservation threat.
Yes, I think it is quite difficult, but then I think the worms that we're working on are quite large. They're quite, I think that many of them are quite beautiful. And if we say that...
Oh, Carol.
Oh, come on. Okay, the bloodworm is not particularly attractive, but the moonshine worms are absolutely beautiful.
Please, Elliot or Mohale, would you find a picture of which worm is attractive?
The moonshine worm.
Yeah, okay, find a picture of the moonshine worm, and we'll tweet that, and we'll see how people respond. Back to the survey, Carol. Are you going to be approaching fisher people? Are you hoping that they will approach you? How are you planning to gather this information in?
Well, we've done two steps in this. So initially, my research group, my students and interns, they actually went to the fishing spots and they approached fishermen and asked them if they'd be willing to help us to collect bait. So they collected bait and they told us what they call it. And then they brought them back into the lab and we've identified them. So from those samples, that's where we got most of the photos that we then inserted into the survey. And now the survey is being distributed, so we've already posted it on a few mailing lists in South Africa, and we're hoping that people or fishermen from a much wider area in South Africa will respond and basically, you know, just identify them so that we can get an idea of whether fishermen in different parts of the country have different names for the worms and things like that. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this so much. You've no idea how refreshing it was to talk about worms instead of state capture. Dr. Carol Simon, worm lover, Stellenbosch University marine biologist.